I forgot I'm on the air. Hi, this is Jeremy Salenti. It's Trends This Week. Maron ami. That's why I said what I said. The Dow is down 428 points. Dow down 428 points. The NASDAQ down over 3%, 138 points down. Oil's down 5%, 5% down over there in West Texas, 2703. Brent down 3.65%, 2771. But gold is up, and you know us, we do not give financial advice. But if you've been following us on Trends in the News, our Trends Journal, our Trend Alerts, our Trends Monthly, and of course, Progressive Radio News, I keep saying gold is the ultimate safe haven, and that's what it's showing to be right now. It's at 1101, still way off, you know, nearly $1,900 off its high. But still, you know, as all else fails, gold becomes a wonderful safe haven. And when I talk about oil prices, I mean, this really needs to be put into context, because it's more than just oil prices that are unraveling here. It's all of the implications of lower oil prices. Again, oil prices now, you know, below $27, $26.95 in West Texas. All the transportation that you're not seeing now. All the laid off workers. And these are relatively high-paying jobs in an economy where jobs stink, and most of them are in the service sector. So these are high-paying jobs, and they built communities and cities with the shale boom. Again, like the shale boom, not like it, not the issue. Staying with the facts. And then you look at all the money that was loaned in the energy sectors, and the numbers are off the charts when you look at them. So you have now, between the energy sector and the mining sector, because you have commodities way off, you're looking at junk bonds failing at rates we've never seen before. That's what we're afraid of. And Americans are being blindsided by the future. They really don't understand what's going on. And part of that is, of course, the media doesn't report it. So, for example, and I've mentioned this before, when the Dow went down and had its worst week in the history of the Dow, so the Dow closes on Friday. Saturday's New York Times, that pumps itself up as the paper of record, or as I like to say it, as I see it decline so much, the toilet paper of record. They didn't run the news of the worst Dow opening of a new year in its history until the second to last page of the business section. So the whole first section had nothing. Of course, the headlines had nothing. And they downplayed it. It was as simple as that. And even the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. I mean, yesterday you saw the Dow. It was up 200 points. And then it was down 80 points. And then it closed up 28 points. So what's the feature story in today's Wall Street Journal? Huge photo above the fold, the hole above the fold. Trump makes push in Iowa. Former Governor Sarah Palin endorses Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump at a campaign stop in Ames, Iowa. Palin endorsement follows governor's attack on Cruz over ethanol mandate. Nothing about the turmoil that's going on in these markets. Nothing on the front page. Let's take a look at the New York Times. A SEAL officer's descent in a grueling deployment. A death ruled a suicide that comrades saw as a cautionary wartime tale. And of course, you know, without reading it, this whole thing is a disgrace. Illegal wars run by the criminals in chief called your presidents, from Clinton's to Bush's to Obama. But nothing about the economy. How America's drug overdose epidemic spread. Big story. And this is an important story, by the way, because it goes back to the economy. It goes back to the immorality. It goes back to the decline of the United States and young people having no future, no hope. And, of course, it goes back to Bill Clinton. That's right. The guy that allowed drugs to be advertised on TV. They were illegal. They didn't allow that before him. Happened in 67. And so the drug culture, the opiates became a big, you know, Oxycontin push drug. The doctors kept pushing them. So now these kids, beyond that, of course, they have no future. I was just talking about oil prices declining. All the jobs that are being lost. People ODing on heroin. How about the suicides that are going on now in Alberta and other provinces in Canada because of the destruction of the tar sands business? So when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And they lose it in violence, or they lose it with their lives. But that doesn't seem to be much of a concern in this country, because the country is being run. And the only thing I agree with Donald Trump on, well, there are a couple of things I agree with him on. I would never vote for the guy. It's my campaign slogan, as you may know, is campaign 2016, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. So having said that, he said that the country is being run by stupid and incompetent people. And he is correct in that. They're also sociopaths and psychopaths, murderers and thieves. So they're not addressing the big issue here, and that's the decline of this country, as all of them, including Trump, keep pumping war, while peace will bring us prosperity and hope that you could really believe in, not these phony lines by El Presidente. So the young people have no future in front of them. And the future they see, even if they're alive, stinks and goes back to the jobs. Goes back to where you're going to work. Oh, you're gonna work for Amazon and you know, pack boxes and shipping? Yeah, maybe they should give that degree in college now. They got all these other useless degrees. How about a degree in packing and shipping? Yeah, you only go about $60,000 in debt after you get a degree in that. But then again, you could go for your master's and PhD in packing and shipping. So anyway, that's the other story in the front page of the Time. And justices to hear state challenge on immigration. Nothing on the front page about what's going on in the economy. Oh, Palin backs Trump with a dash of rogue appeal. What disgusting lowlifes. What prostitutes. What media whores. And they call themselves men and women. What self-respecting person would sink so low to write this garbage and pump it? I'll tell you who. People who lack self-respect and courage and dignity. People who write for the New York Times. The reporters on CNN and Fox, ABC, CBS, NPR? Ha, NPR, what a joke. How about it should begin with FU? Yeah, NPR. So, the people are being blindsided by the future. They don't see it coming. But of course, our work is to provide you with history before it happens. And that's what we've done. And the trend is your friend, if you could read it properly. So yesterday, for example, the markets closed, as I mentioned, down 80 for a period and finally closed up 26. And right after the markets closed, the host on CNBC said, you know, by most measures, this market has been oversold. By most measures. And what has he got over there? A ruler? I mean, he only goes 12 inches? What measurements is he talking about? I'll tell you what measurements. The measurements that the people who only have desk vision and special interests could see beyond. And with trends research, what we do is we look beyond our, we try not to have special interests. We look at the future for the way it is, not the way we want it to be. And the people they bring on are always selling something, whether it's stocks or bonds or investment advice. So it's always skewed. But that's the way the story ended, as the markets ended. And then throughout the day, and you could see it on CNBC, they had stories running. And one of them in their top news feature was that, quote, investors' sentiment sends the wrong message. And the article went on to say, quote, the pain of the downturn could already be behind us, and there could be ways to capitalize. Oh, great. Terrific. Yeah, goes on to say, research suggests that low investor sentiment is actually a contrary indicator, meaning that when it's down, the market is more likely to start rising soon. The idea is that by the time the crowd is feeling glum about the market, it's time to start buying. Yeah, feeling glum? How about feeling broke? I mean, they estimate about $6 trillion, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, has evaporated from the markets in just the first 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks of this year. Glum? But that's what they're doing, and that's why people aren't prepared for the future. You can see it unfolding in front of us. And they don't know what to do because they're not getting sound advice. Now the markets now are only down 392. 2.45%. NASDAQ down 2.68%. Gold up 1290. Oil down 5.09% in West Texas. And Brent down 3.55%, down $1.02. So then they say, you know, well, the folks out there are saving money at the gas pump, and that'll boost the economy. Well, not really, because you're in a deflationary cycle. The prices of everything are going down, as I'm sure you know out there. Your costs are going down as well, right? You know, your rent. Oh, it didn't go up. It went down. Oh, how about your medical costs? Oh, they down too, right? Oh, what about your prescription drug costs? Oh, way, 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 way down. So, yes, oil prices and commodities are going down. And how about, oh, this is just a little one. Ah, maybe it's not even worth mentioning it, but I will. How about your income? Yeah, that's going down too. Median household income, this is a fact, folks, I hate that when he says that. How demeaning, folks. To talk down to you. It's Obama's favorite line, folks. Yeah, we got folks. How about median household income adjusted for inflation below 1999 levels? How about half the population of we the people in the land of opportunity is living below middle class income levels? How about over 50% of the people are earning $30,000 or less? You think saving money at the gas pump is your whole life? That's the way they try to make it believe you to look at it, so that they try to sucker you into buying more and thinking, well, as Obama said in his State of the Union address, people like me, why, you know, we're peddling fiction when we talk about the bad economy. No, Obama's peddling fiction, Salenti's forecasted facts. I'm telling the truth. He's telling lies, outright lies, folks, because the truth is not the way you look at it. It's based on facts. And the truth is, when you add up the facts, 62 people in the world, according to the latest Oxfam study, have more money, folks, than half the world's population combined. Yeah. Peddling fiction? The president is peddling fiction and lies when it comes to the economy. By our words, by what we've spoken, we have forecasted the facts, the truth. So, where is this going? We'll take a trip around the world and you can see where it's going. Again, you look at the numbers. Oh, I forgot about retail sales. Yeah, they're down too. Remember we were supposed to have that glorious boost of a Christmas? And then it started off with a very black Friday. Or I should say a red black Friday, because the numbers were in the red. They call it Black Friday, by the way, because that is the time of the year in the old days when that last month and a half of holiday shopping would bring the retailers' books from the red into the black. It would begin on that Friday. And by the way, that's another scam. Roosevelt gave us that one. Do you know that they moved the Thanksgiving holiday back a week during the Great Depression so that they'd have a longer holiday season to sucker people into spending more? That's right. So retail sales, manufacturing indexes, all down. One lousy number after another. The numbers don't lie. The president and the politicians lie. This economy is going nowhere but down. And it's going to really have implications that we've never seen before. Because what no one's talking about, and again, they're only adding up one and one. That's about as far as their mentality seems to be able to go in these business fraud networks, the Bloombergs and the CNBCs, with their same cast of clowns that they keep rolling out there day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. It's worse because what they rarely talk about is who caused this bubble. No, it's not one and one is two, China and oil. It's much bigger than that. But that's all they're hyping right now. And the markets are going down because China's in a slowdown. And because oil prices are going down. No, those are merely implications of a much greater crisis. And again, they keep putting out the line there that the low oil prices are going to push people to spend more. They're not. It's like, again, if you lived in during the Depression and a dozen eggs was 25 cents and you didn't have a job, 25 cents may well as be $25. It's a deflationary cycle. You don't have money to spend, regardless of the prices going down, while your costs of living are going up, despite the lies that they say that inflation is going down. Again, they're selective in what they do. And by the way, that's another one. All you liberal folks out there that love you, Hillary Clinton, yeah, it was a Clinton that lies us into these fraudulent CPI numbers and making them up. So when you look at the real cost of living index, it's rising. But the fake numbers they put out make it seem like it's going down. So as we're putting again all of this together and looking at the implications, what they're not talking about, what they refuse to keep pumping out is, and they'll only pop it out every now and then, is that this is brought to you by the central banks of the world. A bubble of $250 trillion has been inflated in terms of stock buybacks, merger and acquisition activity, cheap money flowing into the emerging markets when they used to have a thing called quantitative easing and the zero interest rate policies. And not only in the United States. They have Abenomics over there in Japan. Yep, did a lot for that too, huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Nikkei is now in bear territory. After all of that cheap money that they pumped into the markets to enrich their richer friends. And the numbers don't lie. That's right. 62 people have more money than half the world's population combined. That's what the markets have done. It's not only the United States in Abenomics. It's in China. Yeah, they got a different name for Abenomics and quantitative easing. I think it's in Chinese. It's OP. Yep. Can't tell you what that is on the air, but you could figure it out. So now we're looking at money that they've put in that dwarfs the quantitative easing levels of the United States and Abenomics. And they pumped up their economy with building ghost cities and infrastructure beyond levels that are imaginable. So with the market crash is happening, it's going to come down with a boom because of the cheap dough pumped into the systems. And again, then what the Chinese did, they invented their Shanghai Index to push that one up, and they suck it in the investor retailers. 80% of the Shanghai Index is traded by rookies, retail investors, they call them. So then you go take a trip to Europe. And we got the European Central Bank out there. Who's that run by the way? Huh. Oh, Mario Draghi. Hey, wasn't Mario Draghi the guy that was the head of the Goldman Sachs European division? Yeah, that's right. Isn't he the same guy that helped lie the Greeks into the Euro group and have them, you know, so they could have the Euro as their currency, even though they weren't qualified for it? That's right. That's the same Mario Draghi. Goldman Sachs, huh? Why does that Goldman Sachs name keep coming up? Oh, it was... Wasn't Henry Paulson under George W. Bush? Yeah, the mass murder who should be brought up on war crimes. Yeah, that George W. Bush is starting the Iraq War and Afghan War based on lies. Yeah, well, yeah, that Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary under him, where did he come from? The guy that gave us Too Big to Fail, that stole our money and gave it to the Goldman Sachs gang for making a bad bet with one of their investors, AGI, whatever it was. Yeah, like we know what that was. Yeah, well, didn't he come from Goldman Sachs? Wasn't Paulson the CEO? Yeah, Goldman Sachs. Where's that name Goldman Sachs? Goldman. Hey, Robert Rubin. You know Robert Rubin. A slimer of an individual. A lowlife of a man. A sellout of America who helped destroy the Glass-Steagall Act under Bill Clinton, all you lovely liberals out there. Too bad Ralph Nader ran. Gore could have come in. Oh, Gore, the guy who debated Ross Perot about NAFTA, who sold out our jobs. Oh, but that's another issue. Let's go back to Slimer Rubin. The guy that deregulated Glass-Steagall and allowed commercial banks to become, quote, investment banks. Or, in real language, casinos that gamble. Yeah. CEO of Goldman Sachs. And then after he did the dirty deal that sold out We the People, he got a job with one of the first ones that became one of those big deregulated companies. Citigroup. Yeah, used to be just Citibank. And there was another thing called Travelers Insurance and Smith Barney. But thanks to Robert the Slime Rubin, a lowlife of a man, a sellout of America, well, he got a job with them and reportedly earned $150 million. Hey, but those were consulting fees. He's brilliant. He's worth every penny of it. Yeah, it's like paying Slick Willie Clinton and Hitlery over there $300,000 a talk when they talk for Goldman Sachs and other these Wall Street mafia firms. The White Shoe Boy Club. You could hear Clinton BS for free all day long, and you're going to pay him $300,000? If I said billion before, I meant thousand. $300,000 a talk. $300,000 a talk. For what? It's not a talk. Where I come from, we would suggest, I would never insinuate, you call it bribes and payoffs. So going back to the Goldman Sachs gang, I left off at Europe. Oh, I forgot another guy in Europe. The Bank of England. Oh, those English. People say, Mr. Salenti, you should be toned down a bit and become more proper, like those English folks. Yeah, the greatest mass murderers in modern history. You remember the sun never sets on the English Empire. But they do it with such dignity as their little pinkies are raised as they sip their tea and slaughter millions and enslave them. Well, anyway, who's the head of the British bank over there, the Bank of England? Mark Carney. That's right, Carney. Like on Coney Island, Carnival Man in the old days. Carnival Man, Carney. Yep, Goldman Sachs cat. Hey, just like the guy that just visited Obama from Australia, the new prime minister. What's his name? Turnbull? Bull something, yeah. Goldman Sachs. You don't have to add it up too much to see what's going on. So, again, all the central banks over there in Europe where I left off, Mario Draghi, they have negative interest rates. Negative interest rates, and their quantitative easing scheme of buying up bonds continues at the tune of about 60 billion euros a month. And now, of course, we see the implications. The MSCI All Country World Index, which measures major developed and emerging markets, fell into bear market territory today, with its decline from early last year now totaling more than 20%. We forecast this. Go to our website, trendsresearch.com. Even go to YouTube and look at the latest videos we put up. I call this forecast, actually, I believe it was on August 5th or 6th, On with Gary Null. You could go back and look it up. He asked me, when did I believe the markets were going to crash? And I said, it's always difficult because of these schemes undreamed of that they make up. But I believe they will unravel before the end of the year. And they did. The unraveling began before the end of the year. And now, just a day later, boom, Happy New Year. The markets began their worst 2 weeks in stock market history and now are on the way to making it 3 weeks. Will they return to pause and a correction? Again, they could do anything. This is not a capitalistic system. Everybody grow up about this. I said I can't predict what's going to happen with the markets because they have a thing called a plunge protection team. That's right. Markets don't look good. Our buddies are losing money. Let's go in there and rig it. And we'll make it sound legit, just like they make the Federal Reserve sound legit. It's not as federal. It's as federal as Federal Express. It's a bunch of private bankers that own the country. And you don't have to look too far if you live in New York City. Just cast your eyes down to Wall Street. Wall Street has hijacked Washington. Look who's running the show. So, what they're not talking about in the media is who caused this catastrophe. And it's the Wall Street gang. It's the White Shoe Boy Club. The better than us's. And no one is talking about it in the business media. All they could do is add up to two, oil and China. Let's make it really stupid simple for the people. And this way, when China, you know, when they start doing something that we don't like, we could change the direction into a military context. You know, they're building them islands out there in the South China Sea. We got to pivot to Asia, as the United States is now putting troops back into the Philippines, thanks to a Supreme Court ruling last week in the Philippines that allows American troops and ships to come back in there after they were pushed out. The pivot to Asia. Yeah, we could blame China. Keep talking about this being China's fault. Oh, and the Iranians. Oh, yeah, those Iranians. They're dumping oil on the market, too. Yeah, those Iranians. You know, how many countries has Iran invaded now in the last 250 years? How about none? How many has the United States invaded? How many of the Canadians, French, English, Germans. Germans are back at war, by the way. That's right. Back in Syria, back in Mali, Yep, moving back into Africa. But we're going to keep it simple, stupid. We're going to keep blaming China and oil so the average person out there could buy the sound bites and we could build a hatred. Because one of our other top trends for 2016 is the last war. Because when all else fails, they take you to war. And what we're going through now is a replay of what we've seen before. The crash of 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world wars, the Panic of 08, the Great Recession, currency wars. Hey, those Chinese devalued that yuan. They're going to increase their exports. They're going to put American manufacturers out of business. American manufacturers, folks, are out of business. Only 18,000 manufacturing jobs were created last year. About 3 million lost since 5 million lost since Slick Willie gave us NAFTA. But we'll blame it anyway on the Chinese. That with the dollar going up and the yuan going down, we can't sell our stuff overseas. And it's hurting our economy. We're going to make it simple, stupid. One and one is two. Oil and China. Let's forget the fact that in those emerging markets, with their currencies collapsing, you want to talk about devaluations, exports are down between 12 to 14%. Exports are not going to increase because of devalued currencies. Exports will only increase when people have money to buy things. Yeah, I know that sounds complicated, but how are people going to have money to buy things when 62 people have more dough than half the world's population combined? And then, of course, you turn on the presidential reality show. And all you keep hearing is the same old stupid stuff. All right, cut taxes. Get business or government off the backs of business. It's not, and then Bernie Sanders with his giveaway programs. Yeah, tax the people more. It's not about raising. You know, of course, nobody should be working for slave labor wages. I mean, it's ridiculous. And wages should go up. I'm totally in agreement with that. But it's a bigger issue. One of the things Donald Trump said the other day that quickly made the news, you know, Apple should manufacture here. Apple doesn't manufacture at all. Apple doesn't have their own manufacturing facilities. They farm it out. You remember that company, Fox Sam or something like that, Fox something, you know, where the people, so many people die and commit suicide and terrible working conditions, you know, that one. But he's correct in the sense that they should be manufacturing here. That's our only way out of this. People say to me, you know, I point out a lot of the problems. What are the solutions? Well, read your top trends. And again, you could find them by going to our website, trendsresearch.com, top trends for 2016. Self-sustaining economies and self-sustaining individual lives. We have 316 million people in this country. I think we have the human and natural resources to make our own shoes, our own shirts, our own slacks, our own computers, our own everything. Put back into place the laws that were put in place by those that knew better and built this country to be the land of opportunity, that prohibited companies like Walmart from buying the cheap junk and Macy's and the rest of them. And other companies like Apple from manufacturing overseas and then bringing the products back here, marking the prices up to ridiculously high levels and then selling them to us. That's the way to change it. But none of the candidates are talking about that at all. One of the great things missing in these debates is a word that seems to be anathema to all of them, and that's intelligence. All it is rhetoric. It's the presidential reality show. It's a freak show. Cowards, liars, freaks, and fools. Welcome to the presidential reality show. That was the cover of our spring 2015 Trends Journal. And that was before the reality show champion, Donald Trump, became a contestant in the race for the White House. And that's all this is. It's a freak show. And you can see the freaks in charge, one after another. And of course, you remember they promised us with NAFTA. Al Gore, what a disgusting human being. You know what people forget too, by the way? They promised us with NAFTA, of course, we get rid of those dirty manufacturing jobs and have high-tech, high-skill jobs. Yeah. Anyway, going back to Al Gore and losing the election, do you know that when the question came up of the vote counts in Florida, Slick Willie Clinton slimed out of the United States? That's right. Went on an overseas trip. As this is going on, in the midst of that turmoil, he's gone, Jack. Yeah. Out of the country. I think he even went to Vietnam. I know he didn't go there during the war. And you know what else? All you people that shoot off your fat mouths about Ralph Nader, if he didn't run, Gore would have won. Slick Willie did not, and remember, he was president at the time. President. Not a peep about what was going on in Florida with the vote count. Hey, you know, Slick Willie and George Bush Sr. became good buddies. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They really like each other. Not a peep from them. Now, if the President of the United States came out as there was this great discrepancy about the vote count in Florida and said that he would not allow this and I'm going to look into this, and he started screaming from the bully pulpit, you think the outcome in Florida would have been the same? No, no, no. He was gone, Jack. Yeah, hightailed out of the USA and not a peep coming from him. And you know why? Yeah, he was under indictment for a lot of stuff that quickly got dropped. That's right. This is not, as I was saying before, a capitalistic system. It's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. It's a takeover in front of our eyes. In capitalism, there's no such thing as too big to fail. In capitalism, there are no tax breaks, loan guarantees, and special favors for your big moneyed guys in business. Look what they just did up there in Boston. They're giving GE this big break up there for like, what, moving 600 employees there. Give them tens of millions of dollars in tax breaks, plus tax breaks, and infrastructure repair. I open a business, I don't get anything other than high property taxes. It's fascism. 62 people have more money than half the world combined. 62 people having more money than what? 3.5 billion? Fascism. And you see the fascism being played out in many different ways. The police with their SWAT teams and militaristic ways. You go down the cities, all these guys standing around during the holidays with these guns that could kill 100 people in 20 seconds, you know? Oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah, we're going to stop them. Terrorists are coming. Yeah, terrorists always go where there's a lot of defensive structure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, keeping them away, yeah. You stop them from going from there. Oh, how about that guy that they claim the FBI got up in Rochester? This poor guy, out-of-his-mind guy. But they make a big story of it. So fascism plays itself out in many different ways. As a matter of fact, going back to the White Shoe Boys gang, under Obama, who promised his candidate Obama to convict those that committed the financial crimes, not one head rolled. Not one. And speaking about Hold, there was that guy Holder. Yeah, I got something from the Hold. Yeah, you remember the attorney general that went back to work for the White Shoe Boy law firm that protects the Wall Street gang. Didn't convict one of them. And came out and essentially said they were too big to jail. Yep. Oh, and by the way, I can't stand people playing the race card or the gender card. Like on the gender card that Hillary Clinton's playing and the women are buying, oh, we need a woman in charge. And the black card or the race card. This is bigger than, you know, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. I don't care if you're black or white, they'll blow you away for any reason they want. And we had a black attorney general. And he didn't convict one white shoe boy. And that's a fact. Despite the fact that six major banks were convicted. That's right. Convicted. Of felonies. Convicted of felonies for rigging the LIBOR rates. Those are the interest rates. And the Forex markets, the currency markets, which trade at, by the way, at about $5.3 trillion a day. Convicted. Of felonies, and not one head rolled. As a matter of fact, eating dinner at the White House, that's right. Fascism. Race, creed, color, doesn't matter who's in power, what country you're in. Crazy is crazy, sick is sick, psychopaths are psychopaths, sociopaths are sociopaths. And they come in all races, creeds, and colors, and genders. People keep buying it and keep promoting it. Disgrace. That's the other thing. I hear, what's his name, Obama, you know, as he talked about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, with a tear dropping out of his eye, talking about gun control and how sad he gets when he thinks about the children murdered from Sandy Hook. And this week, what were there, three drone strikes in Yemen by the United States? This is the Obama who's quoted on, quote, Terror Tuesdays in selecting drone strikes. That, quote, I'm really good at killing people. This is the Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. How about calling that prize a piece of crap who started the Libyan war along with Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice and Sarkozy? And now the data is coming out from the emails, the facts, that this was about getting rid of Gaddafi because he was becoming too independent, particularly financially. It's there for anybody to read. Go to Consortium News. Robert Parry, respect him very highly. Former reporter for AP, I believe. And it's all detailed right there. Going back to the whole scenario about Obama and hypocrisy, crying about the death of children, as he is responsible for the slaughter of thousands. Hey, you forgot that troop surge? Folks, hey, elect me. We're going to get out of Afghanistan. 33,000 troops. Millions killed in Afghanistan, according to some of the data. And then he quotes on Martin Luther King's, on Martin Luther King Day, he starts quoting Martin Luther King. Just for the record, Martin Luther King was a man and a champion of peace. While Obama and the Bushes and the Cruises and the Clintons and the Rubios and the Trumps, Trump war. And they all use his name in vain, just like those phony evangelical pretenders. This is not a shot at evangelicals. It's a shot at the pretenders, the Cruises and the Rubios. The Cruises who keep championing the body of Christ as he keeps talking about turning this glowing sand to see how many they could kill in the Middle East, about slaughtering more. The Rubio, who quotes from the Bible and talks about increasing the murder rates and getting rid of them ISISs, all hypocrites. So, when all else fails, they take you to war. Oil in China. That's where it's going. But the opportunity exists now, greater than I've ever seen in my life, for positive change. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Right now is an opportunity for a new third party. It is not too late. I began my career in the political business. I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County in New York. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University. I know a thing or two about political campaigns. The race for the White House, for all intents and purposes, it's just begun. They just ramped it up earlier. We could have a new third party. We could have a new third way. Hey, if they could do it in Spain, and they could do it in Portugal, they could do it in Italy as they're doing it. They could do it in Poland as they did it. Again, like them or not, believe in what they're doing or not, people are finding new ways. This country, regardless of who gets elected to the Republican and Democratic Party, will bring no change at all because both parties are filled with murderers and thieves. You know their names. They're the McCains, they're the Grahams, they're the Clintons, they're the Bushes, they're the Obamas. They're the Schumers. Then all the rest. The facts speak for themselves. They start wars and kill millions in the name of humanitarian missions and bringing freedom and democracy. And they rob our money, as I've said, in the name of too big to fail. Tax breaks and loan guarantees. And any other thing that they could come up with for payment that they get for their to run their campaigns. Of course, they're campaign contributions. But as a former Bronx boy, born at Parkchester Hospital, which no longer is there, as we'd say from down in those parts, they're bribes and payoffs. And having worked in the system, here's the kicker. You could buy these clowns off cheaply. It doesn't take a lot of dough. That's right. Well, I mean, after all, you're president of the United States, get $300,000 to shoot your fat mouth off and you can hear you for free. And that's real dough. I wonder how much Obama's going to be making. Hey, maybe I got an idea. Why not have him take over Comedy Central? He'd be great. Yeah, the Obama show. That's all it is. Before that, it was the Bush show. But Obama, he has a special way about him. He lies with a straight face. Bush, you knew he was lying. Couldn't say a full sentence. Kind of like Trump, how he always repeats himself and repeats himself and repeats himself. Yeah, the Obama show. Boy, that's worth a bundle. Yeah. Hey, remember when he used to boogie with Alan, that DeGeneres, Alice DeGeneres, whatever her name is? Yeah, remember him running as a candidate, yucking it up with the women on The View? This is Gerald Celente. That's something this week's trend.